Good evening, and welcome. Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Pearls of Power. Welcome to Pearls of Power. I'm Tracy, your Bible teacher this evening. This evening, I've been, the last week or so, I have been really digging in my heels and studying on the subject of the seven spirits of God. It's very interesting. It's one of those topics that I really didn't, have not really delved into that much. However, when I started really, you know, rolling up my sleeves and getting into it, there is so much information. It's very fascinating. It's very interesting. And the more I dig, the more information I got, and I just really think that you're going to appreciate it. I started out studying about the seven spirits, but the more I got into it, I saw the connection with the seven spirits with that of the Jewish candle, the menorah. And so I just started recently really digging into that, and I haven't studied on that in for years, but I just really started digging into that today. And so my message was a little backwards, so I was trying to straighten out my message today because I kind of studied a little backwards. I had the information and just kind of twisted around. But anyway, nonetheless, let's get started. The seven spirits of God. The Bible speaks about the seven spirits of God, and specifically in the book of Revelation, Revelation 4:1, he called, let's give you an example here. The seven spirits of God, Revelation, it says, there are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And that's Revelation, 4, verse 5. So we have the throne room of God into view. And before the throne of God, you have seven lamps of fire burning before his throne. And the Bible interprets it for you. He lets you know that those seven lamps represent the seven spirits of God. But in my studies, I've also found out that these seven lamps also represent the Word of God, the church, you know, the light of God. So, but right now we're studying and we're focusing in on the seven spirits of God. And so those, the seven lamps burning before the throne of God, according to Revelation 4:5, represents the seven spirits of God. Revelation 3:1 says, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God. And he that hath the seven spirits of God is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as he identified himself in Revelation 1, as he that is standing amongst the candlesticks, and he that has the seven stars in his right hand. So we know that the seven, that he that hath the seven spirits of God is also Jesus Christ. Revelation, okay, and this is very interesting. When I was looking at Revelation 1:4, I found something, and I'm going to read it to you because I just found it to be very interesting how God laid that out. It says, Revelation 1:4, grace to you and peace. This is from he who is, who was, and who is to come. That is the Father. And, it says and is a conjunctive word that joins two phrases or two thoughts or two subjects. And it says, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. So that's the Holy Spirit, okay? And verse 5 says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of earth. So there you have the Son. Right there in verses 4 and 5, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, is introduced. And isn't that amazing? Now, he says it in different form, you know, but it's there nonetheless. So just by that passage alone, we understand that the seven spirits of God is none other than the Holy Spirit. And that word seven, don't get confused, it doesn't mean that it's seven different spirits, but rather that word seven in the Bible represents completion and perfection. And that is, and of course, God being God, that that is what he is. He's complete and he's perfect. There's no blemish or nothing lacking in him. So the seven spirits of God represent the completion and perfection of God as demonstrated in the seven attributes in God, which we'll get into later, found in Isaiah 2. So but I just wanted you to see that just in reading the first chapter, first few verses in the chapter of Revelation lets us know that we're dealing with none other than the Holy Spirit right now when we're dealing with the seven spirits of God. So we have the seven spirits of God before the throne in Revelation 1:4. Like I said, as I was studying it, I realized that my mind immediately went to the Jewish tabernacle, the lampstand, which in the Jewish terms, it is called the menorah, M-E-N-O-R-A-H. It is the lamp that burns in the holy place before the Holy of Holies 24 hours a day. Now, this lamp was designed by God. God spoke it to Moses. Okay, he gave him detail upon detail of how he wanted it to be designed and built. Moses wrote out the blueprint, and God gave men in that camp wisdom on how to build it. The menorah was a candlestick. Okay, it was of pure gold. And it was one stick going straight up, and then it had six branches coming out the side, which totaled seven. If you count the six coming out the side and including the one stick in the middle, that equals seven. It was made of pure gold, and the gold represents the character of the saint or the character of the Christian, because gold to be pure has to go through a refining fire. And that refining fire or process is none other than the purifying work of the Holy Spirit. So it all really ties in together. You just have to kind of dig in and get it, but it's there. And so that gold menorah, it weighed over 100 pounds, okay? It burned, okay, now listen to this. It burned from sundown, all seven branches burn from sundown to sunup. But only the middle candle burned 24 hours a day. That light in the middle candle was never to go out. And the priest were responsible for making sure that there was oil in that lamp and its wick was trimmed, that it was to never go out, because it represents the ongoing, constant indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it is to never go out. It also represents the Holy Spirit living within us, that is that constantly dwells within us. He will promise never leave nor forsake us. The Lord is dwelling within us, and that indwelling is forever. So we must understand that the middle candlestick burned continually. And it never went out. Okay, now they say in the Hebrew tradition, just for your information, that the candlesticks also represented, the six branches represent six areas of human learning. And I just thought this information was interesting. They say that the six branches that shot out of the main branch represented that six areas of human learning. And that the middle stick, which burned continually, represented the wisdom of God. And so in light of what they're saying human wisdom and knowledge is great and good, but that middle stick, it has to be grounded and rooted in the knowledge of the wisdom of God. Separated from the knowledge and the wisdom of God, all of our human wisdom and learning is useless. It's vanity. It's nothing. So I just thought that that was very interesting. The fresh oil of the menorah, it was of the highest quality of olive oil. And so the priests had, there was some type of system of sacrament that they went through to purify this oil, but it was of the highest quality. So we understand now that the menorah the menorah in the Jewish temple in the holy place represented the seven spirits of God, okay, which is, like we have discovered, the Holy Spirit. So that leads us to Isaiah. That leads us to Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 2, which talks about, it goes into detail and it starts naming the seven spirits of God. Okay? So we have, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots. We're speaking of Jesus here, who had a perfect anointing without measure of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of the Lord. That was the first Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, which is Yahamah in Hebrew, Yehamah, Y-E-H-M-U-H.
Yahweh.
The Spirit, Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of wisdom, Chokma, C-O-C-H-O-K-M-A-H, the Spirit of understanding, Bina, B-E-I-Y-N-A-H, the Spirit of counsel, Etsa, E-T-S-A-A, strength, the Spirit of strength, Geburah, G-E-B-U-R-A-H, knowledge, Da'ah, D-A-A-T-H, and then the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, that fear is Yirah, Y-I-R-A-H. So these are the seven spirits of God, seven representing the seven perfect attributes of the Lord. The Holy Spirit in completion, which God, which is resting inside of us, which resides on the inside of us, we being, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, everything that we have or we need that is named is already resting inside of us, and he just wants to bring it forth. He just wants to grow it or establish it in our lives, and that takes work. And the work is basically just yielding to the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the spirit of man is a lamp. The spirit of man is a lamp. And that word lamp is in the Hebrew N-E-R. The spirit of a man that lives on inside of us is a lamp. And that word lamp, N-E-R, is also the same word that is translated menorah in Exodus when God was speaking to Moses about the lamb. So God is letting us know that we are the menorah. We, the Christians, the children of God, we are a menorah. The Bible says that we are the temple, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when the light or the fire of God comes on the inside of us, that's the light, the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. Baptizing us in the Holy Spirit is the light and the fire that is on the inside of us. It also, my mind also went to the 10 wise virgins, the 10 virgins rather. You had 5 wise and 5 that were foolish. 5 had oil in it in their lamps, and 5 of them did not have oil in their lamps. 5 were prepared. 5 were in communion with the Lord. 5 made sure they stayed in relationship with God, and the other 5, well, they slacked on that. So the Bible also says, and he gives a lot of examples about the menorah. If we just in the light that is within us, if we just read through the scriptures, it says that we are the light of the world, and that a set on a hill cannot be hidden. But rather, we light that candle, and we put that candle on a what? Candlestick. Again, there's that word candlestick, and that candlestick, again, is the menorah. We are the New Testament menorahs. We are the light, the temple of God. We're supposed to be on fire for God, lit up by the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit doing his perfect work in us, that purifying work in us, and that of making us holy, giving us power and authority, enablement to accomplish what God has called us to do. So we're going to go, we have, okay, it's 8:15. We have 15 minutes. We're going to go over the first few attributes of the Holy Spirit, the first being the Spirit of the Lord. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord, he says, the Spirit of the Lord authorizes us to do God's work. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon people in the Scriptures and the Old Testament, they were appointed to do accomplish mighty feats and mighty exploits. In Judges 3:10, Othniel, O-T-H-N-I-E-L, he was a judge. And he was a judge of Israel, and he went to war, and the Lord delivered the king of Mesopotamia into his hand. Now, so that lets us know that the judges, the Spirit of the Lord fell on the judges to accomplish instruct the will of God that they could not do in their own power and their own strength. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord does. In Judges 14:6, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart. Now, that's speaking about Samson, where the Spirit of the Lord upon him that gave him supernatural strength to the point where he was able to destroy a lion with his bare hand when they had him in chains. And shackles and chains. The Bible says that the ropes were on his arms became like flax that was burned in the fire, and he broke those bonds loose from his chains. So, from his arms. So, the Bible lets us know that the Spirit of the Lord, falls upon us, to empower us to do things that we could not do on our own. The Spirit of the Lord spoke, let's see, 2 Samuel 23:2 says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his words were on my tongue. So when the Spirit of the Lord fell on men, as I say, he would give us utterance. And he would also give prophetic word and instruction and direction. When the Spirit of the Lord also fell upon Jesus in Luke 4:14. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And then further down it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, to recover the sight of the blind, which is healing, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, which is deliverance, and to proclaim hope and liberty and the acceptable year of the Lord, which is edification and giving us hope. So the Spirit of the Lord would fall upon men, and they fell upon the Lord Jesus also without measure, to enable them to do what they could not accomplish within their own natural ability. And that it was to give them, it gave them utterance, supernatural strength. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon them and gave them authority and to fulfill an office that God had designated for them. Okay, so when the Spirit of the Lord came upon men in the Old Testament, they were endowed with power and authority. And we said that already. Jesus declared that the Spirit was upon him, and he was endowed with the ability to preach, to teach, and to heal. The Spirit of the Lord gives us power. It says in Isaiah 40, verse 13, that the Spirit of the Lord is a being, and that he speaks to us. The Spirit of the Lord is a bodiless, but he's bodiless, and that he speaks to us. Searching, 1 Peter 1:11 says, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the spirit of the Lord is also the spirit of our Christ. You can use them interchangeably because God is one. The spirit of Christ or the spirit of the Lord is also the same. In Ezekiel 11:5, it says, "Then the spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, speak." He fell on me, and he gave them authority to speak prophetic utterances and rebukes and warnings. So the Spirit of the Lord just, he helps us, and again, he helps us and enables us to accomplish and do that which we could not do within our own strength and our own natural ability. The second attribute of Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom is chokmah in Hebrew. Proverbs 4:6, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your wisdom, get understanding. Now, the Bible also says that, you know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not. So if you feel that you are lacking in that area, you can ask God to enhance that gift in your life. But the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. He says it is the principal thing. And that word principal means it's of utmost importance. It is paramount. It is crucial that you have the fear of the Lord because that is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is it is the practical application of the Word of God in our everyday life. It is taking the Word of God and applying it, knowing how to apply it to our everyday life. Wisdom is a divine enablement that we come up with the best answers or the best solutions to life's challenges or hard questions. So wisdom is sound judgment. And that's what God wants us to have as Christians. He wants us to be able to take the Word of God. So that means you have to know the Word of God. So that means you have to study the Word of God. Because if you don't know the Word of God, study the Word of God, you can't really apply wisdom because it is actually the application of what you know in your daily life. It's almost an example of that would be like our secular court of law. You have a judge that they went to school and they've learned the law. They learned the inside and the outside of the laws of the land. And so they are equipped to interpret the laws that they have learned according to what you present before them, which we call cases. Any situation or scenario that you present to them, they take what they have learned in the schools about law, and then they use that, what they've learned, and they apply that to solve the cases or the problems that are set before them. Of course, also they use, you know, their experience as well as discernment because they have to be able to see if the person is probably not telling the truth or if they're lying, whatever. But they take the laws of the land and then they apply it to your situation to get a result. And so that's kind of similar to wisdom in that we take the Word of God, we as Christians or children of God, we take the Word of God, so we have to study it, we have to know it, and then when situations occur in our life, we can recall, okay, the Word of God says this, or the Word of God says that, and you apply it to your everyday life. That is wisdom. Now, God also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I told you what wisdom was, but God says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And the fear of God simply means that you take God seriously, that you make choices and decisions that are pleasing to God, that God is in the forefront of your mind when you are making decisions, because you don't want to displease God. It's like having God, it's like saying, what if God was standing there with you? Would you go ahead and curse that person out? Or would you restrain your tongue? Because you know God is standing there, you take him seriously. It's the same thing. Now, God doesn't have to be standing there physically for you to take him seriously. He's there. He lives on the inside of you, and it grieves him when you disobey him. So when you fear God, it simply means before you make your choices, you make your choices in light of God is watching, and that God wants you to make the best choices. And so that's fearing God. If Jesus was standing right there, how would that change your decision? Would that change your choices? Would you make a different choice if Jesus was standing there with you? Most of us would. And why? Because we fear God, and we take God seriously. So it's almost like saying, and it's very important that we understand, it's almost like saying if we did not fear God, we would not apply wisdom. We would probably more or less just yield to the flesh and yield to our desires and yield to our temptations. But because we have a respect and a reverence and a fear of God, we make better choices. And that is wisdom. And that is what God is talking about. I'm going to stop right here. It's 8:27. I hope that y'all got something out of this. I enjoyed. I was a little nervous, but I enjoyed going over this. And moreover, I really enjoyed studying it. I really learned a lot from it. But I also want to take this time, if those of you that may be listening, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you don't know him personally, if you have not Jesus your Savior, you can take this opportunity to ask God to your life. It's just a prayer. You're just a prayer away. And you just repeat this prayer after me, but you just mean it from your heart. And it's, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in the book of life. And when you return, Lord, or receive me unto yourself. I thank you, and I believe that you died for my sin. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to talk to the pearls of power, and I hope that you were blessed as I was blessed in studying this material. And I am going to turn the program back over to Dr. Hunter.
Well, I got a question. I was put down your notes. We see you said what scripture the seven spirits were in.
The seven, the listing of the seven spirits, or Isaiah 11 verses 2 and 3 speaks of the listing, the outline of the seven spirits, that of wisdom, understanding, might, knowledge, the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing I can say to you, you got a lot of teaching. I know the teaching that you're getting, it makes you, make you sit back and say, I have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful when you start talking about these seven spirits. Because when you talk about the Manoah, that's how it was started, and I thank God for your teaching, your ability to teach it, to come up with words people have never heard, Jehovah, Jehovah Nisqabu, Jehovah Nissim, Jehovah I Am, Jehovah the Blessed One. I thank God for you coming up with the teaching that will qualify the listeners, and I pray God that somebody's listening, and if I'm open, can I open the line for you for a few minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Let me see here. I see 2, 3, 6 lines over. All right, this line 1362, you open? You have a question for Dr. Tracy Hardy?
No. Just Tracy. Just Tracy would be
good. Well, like the man said, I used to, doctor. You got a question you want to ask her? Amen.
Yes, I really enjoyed your sermon tonight, your preaching, and you need to stick with what you're doing because you're doing a good thing, helping people, let them learn about the Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Boy, it'd be nice to get a lot more men involved, but praise the living God for more all blessing flow. Another question is, anyone has another question they want to talk to your host tonight who was talking to y'all?
It doesn't have to be a question. It could be a comment or it could be you want to add anything?
Whatever. Well, sometimes my people, they're listening. Amen. But I want to let you know that you have been a blessing. You've been a blessing. And I want to thank my God for you, for what you have done. And the thing that God has done in you, he has prepared those who come to him. See, we got to be able, as you were doing tonight, we got to be able to just put it out. You were quiet. You were not loud. You pressed on in, and you put your way in. And I want to thank God for that attitude that you have. I got another sister coming on tonight. She's coming. She's going to come on right now. She's getting on the line right now. You there? Sonia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you, Dr. Hunter?
I'm blessing you. We're just talking about the lady that talked earlier. She talked about the seven spirits of God. I know you got a plate full tonight because I'm hungry.
God is good. We got
Amen.
God's word and God's spirit is here with us, so we just let him have his way in the name of the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead and teach.
All right, amen. I want to start out talking about love tonight. The Bible speaks of three types of love: the love of God for man, man's love for God, and love between men. We see in 1 John 4:8, we're told that God is love. This means that love is rooted in the very personality of God, that no thought about God can be adequate, which does not take into account his boundless love. God's love is expressed in his election of and long-suffering attitude toward Israel. Its supreme manifestation is, of course, his sending of his Son to die for our sins, that we might
Amen.
Have life everlasting. And we see that in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we also see it in Romans 5:8, where it says, "For God commanded his love toward us, and that while
yeah.
we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Died for me.
Yeah.
Died for us. Amen? Man's love for God arises in response to and out of gratitude for this love, which he has received through no merit of his own. Nothing we did to earn this love, God love us. This same gratitude and sense of his unworthiness of the gift of grace moves Christian men to love of other men. This love is directed not only to one's friends, but even the Pharisees love their friends. You know, even evil folks love their friends. But also to those who have no worth of their own to desire such love, even to one's enemies. So we are called to love our enemies. It is to be specially manifested toward the fellow members of the redeemed community. You know, they're supposed to know us by the love we have for one another. For it is the love which identifies them, identifies us as God's children. Without love, no human community, regardless of the name it wears or the prestige it enjoys, can claim to be the Church of Jesus Christ. So tonight, we want to look at these three types of love. The love of God for man, man's love for God, and the love between men, and all this that the Word of God has called us to. I'm going to deal with three scriptures in each one of these. The first one, for God's love, if you want to just kind of turn to it and put something there, we're going to look at 1 John 4:8. And then the second one, the love of man for God, we're going to look at 1 John 4:17. And then on the third one, the love of man for man, we're going to end this thing up, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit have his way. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to go from verse 1 to verse 13, okay? 1 John 4:8 says, He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit.
Yes.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We love him because he first loved us. And that just sums it up. The whole thing about God is love. And the whole purpose of what he's given to mankind, the Savior, is love. God is love.
Amen.
Amen. And the second one we're going to look at is the love of man for God, 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, there's a lot to talk about in this scripture right here, because when you look around, when you read the news, every day fear is coming to grip us. In almost everything, emails, anything you look, everything you open up, fear is there to grip you. You know, if you look at the, you know, if you look at what the society is talking about on CNN, everything is filled with fear. You know, emails you get tell you not to touch the gas nozzle at the gas station. They got so much stuff they're sending. And, you know, this world is based on fear. They got the hoarding shows that show people hoarding a whole lot of stuff. They got shows that show the addiction of people, that shows, you know, all these different sicknesses and illnesses are set up on fear. People fear that they have a sickness and have a psychological illness. You know, there's so many things that are built upon fear. And the perfect love casts out fear. You know, God has made us, you know, when we receive his gift of Jesus Christ, he has broken every chain. He's broken all those chains down. He has given us salvation. He's given us healing. He's given us forgiveness of sins, and he's given us peace. That's what the whole program of salvation is about, and just accepting the gift of God. God loves us, so he's given us a way out of these situations that the world have built for us. We don't have to go. We don't have to fall into that. He's broken every chain, and he's broken those chains with his perfect gift of love, Jesus Christ. And the thing about it is that we don't have to fall prey to this fear in this world. There's so many fears. There's so many suicides going on every day. There's, you know, people are afraid of this. They're afraid of dying. We don't have to be afraid of death because that's our eternal life. We're just going to walk on out of here into eternity. And with God, there's nothing to fear about that. You know, my children talk to me about, you know, we had a lot of deaths in the family last year, and they always talk about the different things. And my point is, let's be ready for our appointment because we'll walk on into eternity. You know, we know what we believe, and it's just going over those scriptures again. We don't have to be afraid to die because we're going home with Jesus. That's our home, you know. And the world is built up on this fear. And people have the phobias. They got arachnophobia. This, they make new phobias every day. You know, and that is a torment. But the perfect love stops all this tormenting. We don't have to be tormented in this life. And this for the unbelievers that are on the line today. You don't have to live tormented. I know when I was a sinner, I was tormented. I was always looking around my shoulder, wondering who knew what I was doing. You know, trying to figure out if they knew what was going on with me. We don't have to have a fear because perfect love took it out of here, and God is the perfect love. He already know what you've been doing. That's why he had to put this perfect plan into effect. And you can't get no more perfect than Jesus dying on the cross, our Savior, God coming down and fixing everything for us. You can't get a more perfect plan than that. And this is for the unbeliever. This is for us that believe, that need to rededicate or need to be shook up tonight, because we do have the perfect love. God is love, and that's the perfect love. It's not what we have learned growing up. That's not love at all. We done learned some kind of junk, and it cannot be compared to what love really is. What love is God, and what God has done for us, he gave. He gave us everything we needed in this world to get out of everything that we got ourselves into. There is no issue that anybody is dealing with right now that God don't have the answer for. And that's perfect love right there.
Yes.
Anything that we're going through, God has the answer for it, and God is love. And his love can take out any problem, any issue. It is the solution to everything. And the bottom line is that people think that they're in impossible situations. That's when you see the thoughts of suicide. That's not impossible. Whatever you're dealing with, it's not impossible for God. People with gay thoughts and gay men, you know, think that they were born that way. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You're not born that way. All you got to do is look down to see how you're born. You're either born male or female, period. And, and people have went and got sexual reassignments where they've gotten a different sexual part put on them. Still, that's not who you are. And God so loved the world, people that have gone through that too, that he gave his only begotten son, because he gave him for you too. He gave him for all of us, you know. And that is perfect love. You know, that's perfect love. All you got to do is receive that love, and the Holy Ghost got you covered because he know what to do after that. He would do whatever he need to do to take care of this transformation in each and every one of our lives, no matter where we find ourselves at tonight. So you know, bring it all to the table, because God can handle whatever situation you got, and that's perfect love. He accepts everybody. Nobody is rejected. No matter what you've been through, what you're doing, what you have done in the past, you can bring that. And what I'm saying is, he's not condoning it, but he's saying, come as you are. You can't clean yourself up. You can get yourself in a big mess. And the bottom line is, the perfect love can take care of you. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Man. So hitting that last point, the love of man for man, want to go over to 1 Corinthians 13. verse 1. And this King James Version say charity, but I just, you know, really would like to read it with love, replacing that word. And that's what charity is love, but I just like to use the word love. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profit me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is charity or love. And that's what love is. You know, I know that we have learned something growing up, and I don't believe it's love in the way that I just read it. You know, we've been exposed to what we thought was love. I don't believe that's what love is. This is what love is. And this is the kind of love that God has for us, and this is the kind of love that we have to show as a Christian. We have to show this. If the Spirit of God resides in us. You know, a lot of times, you know, I have to come back and look at this because, you know, my behavior has to be checked according to this love that's written here, because that's what I am supposed to be showing as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is the love of God. You know, and unless we are operating like this, we're not showing love. And this is the type of love we're supposed to show to each other and to the people that we encounter on a daily basis. And, you know, the thing about this love right here is this is the greatest gift, or this is the greatest thing that we should be showing, because, you know what, I would even go farther to say that when we see the scripture where Jesus said, "I never knew you," because you don't show love.
Oh,
we have to show love.
Oh.
Because it says here that these men were speaking in tongues of angels, and they didn't love. So what did it mean? Nothing. It say here that the even if you have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith that can move mountains, this is a great faith. But if you have not love, it means nothing. This is what, you know, you're showing some great gifts here, but this meaning nothing because you didn't show any love. And this, the list that I just read, this is what love is. It's not what you think it is. It's not what you want to say it is. It's right here. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've been in conversation where people say, "Well, you know, I love you, but wait a minute, are you showing me these things right here?" You know, if I'm going to say I love you, I need to show them. Because love is a demonstration. It's not just words. So if I'm not demonstrating it, what am I doing? I'm just talking. Love is a demonstration. These are actions right here. Every one of these things I read was an action. And see, these gifts mean nothing without love. Pretty serious, isn't it? And God is love, and we are supposed to be imitators of God. Come on, help me. Help me with this.
Amen.
Are we imitating
Amen.
God? that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be imitating them now. And this is where the rubber meets the road. What are we doing here? This is a good time to check ourselves. Because if you're not demonstrating it, all you got to do is just, hey, well, all we got to do is repent and get back up and, hey, let's go forward. And then surrender to the Holy Spirit. Because he works everything out. And it never fails. Love never fails. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord, you can accept him tonight because he gave you this perfect love. This love is for you. You know, this love casts out fear. You don't have to be tormented no more. You don't have to walk around looking over your shoulder wondering who know about that that incognito or inclandestine lifestyle you live in. You know, getting high at night or doing whatever you're doing at night and going to work during the day. You know, when I was in the military, I was doing that and handing the soldiers I was giving the urinary test, you know.
Yeah.
I was wondering who knew about me, you know, looking over my shoulder, worried. I didn't have to live like that no more. Thank God I was delivered and set free from all of that. And that's what God does. See, I didn't know that until it happened to me. I was standing outside smoking a cigarette. I wasn't thinking about anything, but you know what came crushing down was I said, I'm tired of my life like this. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of looking over my shoulder. Do you know, in that instance of surrender, God took it all from me, took everything from me, the alcohol, the drugs, the fornication. I walked back in that warehouse where I was a different person, and the folks looked at me like I had just lost my mind, like, what's wrong with you? They could see instantly that I was changed, and that's the thing about it. For the unsaved person on this line, a person that needs to rededicate, you don't have to change yourself. That's God's job. You come and receive this perfect love tonight. You stop being tormented. You don't have to live tormented. That's the lie from the pit of hell. God has made a way for you to be reconciled back to him right now. And all you have to do is turn your life over to Christ. All you have to do is, according to Romans 9 and 10, am I saying it right? Romans 9 and 10. Is confess Romans.
If thou shalt confess the Lord with thy mouth and believe in thy heart.
Amen.
Yeah.
Romans 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the bottom line. Period. You can step out of that mess tonight. Period. And you don't have to look back. Because God accepts you as you are, and then the Holy Spirit will transform you better. And as you renew your mind in this word and you keep listening to this station and these people preach this word of God and teach this word of God and you continue to read your Bible and get in a spirit-filled Bible-believing church, your mind will be renewed and transformed as you continue to pray and worship the Lord. That's all it is. It's a new relationship. A relationship with our God through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. What a lesson tonight. What a lesson tonight. I would like to throw a nugget in on what you just said. As I sit behind the scene, I want to bring this. I'd like for you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hallelujah. And I'd like for somebody else on the line to read it, please. I'm going to tell you what verse. Because here is the importance of everything that the teachers have taught tonight on the line. And this is what has happened. And I will get them to read it for me. Okay. I read in Second Hebrews. Somebody started verse 9 and read on. I'll stop you. Read on it. Somebody read at verse 9. Second Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. Can I get a read on the line? Somebody listening in, please. If they don't mind, would you read it, please?
But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him. For it was fitting for him, for whom all are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through the death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. But in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
Amen. You know, when I was listening to the teacher start off talking about the seven spirits of God, and there's this sister come along and start talking about the three things she talked about, it moved me with compassion. If you read into the scripture what she just read out and understand, if you go in there, that Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for us, that he did this, that he might come, he might conquer the devil. There was not a man alive like me in flesh and blood could do what Jesus did. But Jesus came and did it for us. He did it for us that he might destroy the works of the devil, who had the power over death. And not only that, he had the power of death, but had people who were still in fear. Hallelujah, somebody. I told you it'd make me hungry. I laid a whole big plate here. See, but I will stay with love. I will stay with love. Because we're living in a time when I heard the Supreme Court decided to give us a limited prayer. I said, a limited prayer? Get out of Dodge City. A limited prayer. Well, give me a limited prayer. Give me somebody to pray with me. Let's make it a whole. That's what God is doing for us in this last hour. We're so close to him coming back. We're so close to seeing Jesus come back. Beloved, I will say to us again and again and again and again, trust in the Lord Jesus with all thy might. I'm not looking to my pension. I'm not looking to my whatever. I'm looking unto Jesus. Every day I live, I have learned to put myself in a position. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. And I remember when the lady who was here had a great ministry. God used it. She says, don't take the Holy Spirit from me. And the more I can understand it, who wants the Holy Spirit to leave? If the Holy Spirit leaves this earth and he's left us here, man, we got some issues. We got some issues. But we got to pray one for another. We got to believe one for another. I don't know where you live at, but I love you. I don't know where you stay, but I love you. You might not sound like me, but I love you. You might not look like me, but I love you. Because the love the love, the perfect love, the perfect love, perfect love, smears out, smears out, perfect love. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anybody got any comments they want to make on their own while we're still on the air? Because I'm just so happy tonight. My heart just pounded with joy. Pounded with joy. God's daughters came tonight and told the nation around the world, somebody's listening. And I said, yes. I wasn't going to tell you every time. We've got 1,500 people listening to y'all on the night around the world. They may never raise a question.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
But they agree what you're saying. Somebody may not see it. Early
Amen.
This morning, they thought about it, but they heard the word about the seven spirits, the menorah. Hallelujah. Somebody.
Hallelujah.
And that's what it's all about.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hallelujah. And I'm telling you with love and kindness, Jesus has called us to do a great work. See, I don't have time to play. As a soldier lady said, when I was a soldier back in the day, when I would go and do it my way and what I'd say, hey, 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 and I had it going on. But when I met Jesus, oh, glory, hey, my life
Hallelujah.
Looked different. Hallelujah. I can take you back to 4th of 18 and hang out in Germany and tell you what all began to happen when I was doing what I was doing, what I was doing, what I was doing. But God had a man that told me, said, God has called you to preach. I said, no, come on, homeboy. We ain't got time for that. I'm having fun there. When God calls you, you can run, but you can't hide. You can smoke, you can drink, but you can't hide.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight's a good night. It's tonight's kindness. Anybody else got a statement to that? Want to speak to the nation? Come, somebody. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Amen. If nobody have anything else to say, I want to say this to you that listen. Tonight's been a blessed night. It's been a good night to hear the seven spirits expound upon. But she has a series she's going to be teaching on. And to hear the sister Thompson Sonia to preach about the three things, close connected from 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:17. I said, look at this sister. She running the bases. In other words, she slammed. They see the devil going to throw a fastball at you. You ain't got to swing. You can bunt it. As long as we can bring somebody off the table. See, and I always say this, our objective is to win. That's our objective. So does anybody else have anything to say? I'll be quiet. Anybody else? Amen.
I want to say it's just a blessing to be in the Word of God. It's so rich and full of truth and life. And the more you dig, the more you realize you can go deeper. It's just word upon word, scripture upon scripture, revelation upon revelation, and it's just a blessing. I mean, it takes work to prepare these lessons. But I'm being fed as I'm preparing to feed. And I just thank God that he's called me and using me in this degree. And he's just teaching me, Tracy, you know, you reap what you sow. You know, sometimes you want to get complacent in your studies. You want to half do it, but God convicted me. He said, no, you reap what you sow. You want to deliver a dynamic message, then you have to first be a serious student of the Word of God. I mean, you can't be half stepping. So I just, yeah, it's just a pleasure to serve the body of Christ by ministering the Word of God to you.
Amen. Amen. Let me give those who are listening what an old man told me. When I thought that I had got up there, I was all nervous, but I thought I didn't have nothing to say. I was nervous. I was mispronouncing names. I was nervous. But the old man said to me, he said, you were standing in the presence of God. That's why you couldn't get, he said, but God was holding you up. See, the world has a stage that they want to put us on. But I want to say this low before we go off the line. In Africa, there's 200 young girls who got to pray that the devil's a lie, that he set them free. We got to pray for up there in the Ukraine, we got to pray for that, that the war won't break out until Jesus says it's time. Because he said, go and prepare. See, the angels are on our presence. And I want to tell you something. Somebody sound like I'm a crazy man, but I've had my nights for the last 40-some days. I've been in a fighting on my rooftop. And I said, Lord, who is that? He said, that's the enemy trying to come in, but he found not. He can't penetrate. Hallelujah. The enemy. See, it's a spirit. It's not spirit. Like the sister said, you can press the spirit, but the spirit can't do nothing. But if you lose your soul, you're going to hell. And we don't want to see no souls lost.
Amen.
Not only pray for the in Africa, we pray for those in Ukraine, we pray for them over there in Germany, we pray for them in the continents over there, we pray for them over there in Malia, we pray for them all around the world, because our job is to purport the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That same man who said he was a man is a liar. The devil said he was a man. He's a liar. And God is telling us, beloved, I've been trying to get some men to come on the line to help me. But you know what? I said, well, Lord, if the one come on, let's go. See, a lot of men, I'm not puffed up with who I am. I know what I have. I know who I am. I know what I have to offer. And if I ain't got nothing to offer, I ain't going to cut off and not going to leave it alone. But I love you, sisters. I love you, sisters. I love you. 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 Ain't nothing you can do about it. But just love me back. And,
we love you.
That's all you can do.
Amen.
You know, that's all you can do. You can say what you want to say about me, and I tell you I still love you. Because I've gone through some mission today that people have called me and talked to me, and I'm not going to repeat them because I'm praying for some things. And I'm going to ask 5104. Would you take us out in prayer, please? That's your last four numbers.
Okay.
I'll never give you a whole number.
Okay.
Take us out in prayer.
Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word that has been spoken on this land tonight. And Father, we just praise you, God of peace, God of love, God of all creation. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your blessings that you've blessed us with this evening. We thank you that your word has gone forth, Lord God, and that it won't return to you void, but it will accomplish everything you sent it forth to do. And, Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you that your word is powerful and sharp. We thank you, Lord God, that it divides asunder the bone and the marrow, the spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for your word doing exactly what it's designated to do. And we give you the praise for it, O God. We thank you for your presence of your precious Holy Spirit here tonight, O God. And we thank you, Lord God, that has brought us to all truth, Father. And we just give you the praise for it. Father, we lift up these situations of the people on this line, Lord God. We pray to you, Lord of the harvest, to send the perfect laborers into the harvest, for the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few. And we thank you, Lord God, as we pray tonight that you send the perfect labors into the lives of every unsaved person on this land, every backslider, every one of us that need, Lord God, to return to you or to repent of our sins. Lord God, we just thank you for your laborer doing the perfect work that they need to do in each and every one of our lives. And Father God, we lift up each one of these situations that Dr. Hunter listed out, the girls that have been kidnapped in Nigeria, Lord God. We pray for the president over there, President Goodluck Johnson, that he and his cabinet and all those around him get this thing together, Lord God, inspire them, put a holy fire up under them, Lord God, to get out there and find those children and return them, every one of them, home in the name of Jesus. And we bind the enemy's hand that is operating in it right now. We bind the enemy's hand operating through this Muslim culture, these Muslim people, these Muslim impersonators or whoever these Muslims are. We bind that mess in the name of Jesus. And we call forth the power of God to operate through President Goodluck Jonathan and all those cabinet administrators and police forces that are out looking for those girls. And we thank you, Lord God,
yes,
for success
in
returning those girls home in the name of Jesus. We pray for the situation in Ukraine. We pray for the families over with the flipped over ferry in Korea. We pray for these folks, Lord God, that you bring these folks to know you as their Lord and their Savior, Lord God. And we pray for the grieving families right now that you comfort them, Lord God. We know that your word says that you can give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. And, Father God, we pray that for them in the name of Jesus. And for every situation, every other situation that the doctor listed out tonight, Lord God, we lift it up to you. And, Father, we thank you that you are the solution to every issue in this world. And we thank you, Lord God, that you bring those solutions out, that you put godly advisors around the leaders of this world, oh God. And,
yes.
Father, we just pray these things in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And remember, I love you. I love you. I love you. And ain't a thing in the world you can do about it. Hallelujah. I will love you until the next time we meet again. I'm going to put on something that if you want to listen. But also I want to tell you, I want to take this Monday night, one night, and I want to put it on the radio. I want to put it where people can hear it on a Sunday night. I'm going to take Monday night from y'all minister and put it on every other Sunday. Is that okay with y'all? Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen. I love you. I'm going now.
Amen. Amen.
All
right.
Amen.
Bye.
My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8, 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7, 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15, 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6, behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the leap of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3, he healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languish. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. And then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made it sure them openly, triumph them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in the place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5, 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90, 10. The days of our years are 60 and 10, that by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. Thou shalt no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy blood. for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if I will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed, thence two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence, and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been broken asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things, many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saith, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose. And he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and walleth forth. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft time it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he come unto Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse, and he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men are to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water him? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue in Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent then answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, improving in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name this name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he who sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them was heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to him. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, did we this day be examined of the good deed done to the invoke of man? By what means he is made whole, being known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you holy. This is the stone which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to thee? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19 through 21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John 1:1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews 4:14-16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the Martin reads, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast in profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:35-36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursed vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the boss of Egypt and with the emrods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore body that cannot be healed. From the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out of the field, shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worm shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring the nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, or show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the seeds, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the seeds and straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which I was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And he shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and he shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now then I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse and reading the whole chapter. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you shall not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that contendeth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law, in the sight of God it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, there are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore, you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You say, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. Specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again, and then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from, and specify your sickness.
this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station B, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.
Amen.